Amen. All right, without further ado, we have Brian up here. I don't know what he's speaking on. I didn't ask him. I want to be surprised like everybody else. But Brian, who would you like to pray for you this morning?
Claire.
Claire. Oh, I'm sorry.
We come before you, Lord, and we thank you so much for this wonderful day and that the sun is shining, Lord, and that's a Sunday we can come into your house, Lord. I pray over Brian, Lord. I pray over the word. Yes. Prepare our hearts, Lord. Help it to soak deep into our hearts, and we can apply this to our lives, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory.
Yes.
In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen.
Wow, I like that. So as I was preparing my lesson, I was getting all these signs coming to me. This right here, this is at work, and as God was giving me these signs, I'm like, trout, Washington pears. Oh, okay. Then I come home, and I turn the TV on, and the Andy Griffith show's on, and, you know, there's him and his son getting ready at the beginning, right? Question, what do two country songs and one rap song on my playlist, plus a Joe Kuvert group text, have in common?
Just for 500?
This is the daily double right here.
Okay, if I answered, I want the money.
Two country songs on my playlist, one rap song that God had been repeated theme here, and then Joe Kuvert just confirmed it the other day. I couldn't believe it. What? Ed said what? Who's got the mic?
I do.
All right.
Ed, I'm sorry. All right. Say it again, out loud, for all posterity.
Fishing.
I mean, everywhere I turn around, somebody was talking about fishing. You know, the Andy Griffith, the songs. And then I get, who's on Joe Kuvert's group text? Somebody else in here? Yeah, he, remember Fred, he sent that thing, and was talking about miraculous catch, and I says, you got to be kidding me. So what I want to talk to you guys today about, and this is going to be my theme for this year, I want to be a better fisherman.
Amen.
Amen. Don't we all? Can we all? Can we all be better at it? You know, Matthew 4:18-20, and Jesus is calling his first disciples here. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I'll send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. You know, the English Standard, I know Sammy likes that version. It says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Amen? You know, fishing, anybody ever fished in here? It could be exciting at times, right? I mean, you know, Christy and I were down at the Detroit River a couple months ago, and the rock bass, were silver bass, they were flowing, and these guys were catching them as soon as they put their bait in. Bam, they're pulling them up. They have buckets full. But, you know, when the fish are biting and you get out a big one on the line, you know, your heart starts racing. It can be a lot of fun. Amen? On the other hand, fishing can be tedious, can be boring. You know, when they're not biting, you know, it takes a lot of patience to be a good fisherman. Well, fishing for souls is a million more times, in my estimation, exciting than fishing for fish. You know, when we fish for people, we don't want to do a catch and release, right? I mean, we don't want to just get them to say a sinner's prayer and then we, you know, send them on their way. But our goal should be what? To usher them into the kingdom and make them true disciples. Amen? Matthew 28:19, this has got one fan in here, and I know it ain't you. 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You know, we want them to get saved. You know, that's our goal. We want to make them disciples, right? I remember a long time ago, they asked Billy Graham, they said, how many people, you know, that they give their hearts to the Lord are serving them 1 year later, serving God. And he goes, well, we're lucky if it's 10%. that are still, you know, they said that prayer, they made an emotional decision, you know, and it's great. But 1 year later, you know, like Pastor Don always says, you know, they didn't consider the cost before building that tower. But you say to yourself, I don't know how to fish, right? Well, you know, remember, cheer up. Jesus said he'll make you fishers of people or fishers of men, right? We're not all perfect. I'm not a born fisherman. You are?
No.
Raise your hand there. So I got some tips on how to be better fishermen, okay? Number one, it says fish at the right times. Yeah. It says you might like to sleep in till noon or brave the waters only when the sun shines, but if you do, you're missing out on some of the best times to go fishing, right? Who does fishing here, for real? All right, Kenny, how early you got to get up?
Fish are available all day.
Oh. I like that. You know, it may not be wise to call someone at 3 in the morning and tell them Jesus loves them. You know, I don't know if you want to go fishing for them at that time. And they may respond like this lovely young girl there. Does anybody know her?
I can throw one in for you, Brian.
Yes.
My dad was a fisherman. He used to take me as a kid, okay. So I got burnt out on it early.
But yeah.
You usually go up in the morning because, just like us, fish don't feed at night. They can't see. So they wake up, sun comes out, they're hungry. They're up looking for food. And it seems like it's silly to fish in the rain, but all that commotion, things falling on top of the water, excite them. They come up to see what's happening. They think it's food falling or something like that, insects and so forth. So the times that we don't think are the right times are the best times sometimes.
Give him a hand. That's a very good. Isaiah 50, verse 4 says, the Lord hath given me a tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. You know, we got to be in time. We got to be ready. We got to be prepared. You know, not every fish is going to respond the same way. And, yeah, a word in season. Donna, please.
Hold on, Donna.
You're talking about the right time. I'm not a fisher woman, but I went fishing with my brother. He was a fisherman. He'd do all kinds of fishing. Doug and my brother Mike would charter boats, and they'd catch salmon and stuff. But anyways, I went with him and my husband, and I was so excited. I wanted to fish, and I had my pole in the thing, and we were out on this bay, goes out into the water, and everybody was sitting there, and nobody was catching. All of a sudden, I felt a tug, and I got so excited. I was like, I got one, and I pulled it right out of the water, and I flew back and almost hit my sister-in-law on the head, but it was seaweed. It was like that weed stuff at the bottom.
Oh.
It wasn't a fish. And when we don't have the Holy Spirit guiding us, we're going to be like that, trying to reel it in, and it's not time. That kind of reminded me of it, my fishing expedition, and how if we got to be in the right time.
Amen.
I was just going to add something to that.
Yeah.
When Ken said, anytime. We went down to our little dock, and I thought, well, this is going to be boring as all heck. Well, that day, we happened to have our three grandkids with us. They would drop the line in the water and got a fish every single time. And our youngest granddaughter caught a pike out of the canal. And so I thought, it just shows me that, like you said, we have to be ready in season and out of season and be expectant of what God is going to do. And so it was exciting. It turned out to be an exciting day, and it wasn't just because of the fish, but it showed me some things about about being expectant.
Thank you for stealing my scripture, because I was just going to say, I was literally just going to say, we have to be prepared in, in nature, there is quote-unquote fishing season, for certain types of fish. But within the kingdom of God, hey, season's open, man, 24/7, 365, right? We got to be ready. But a lot of times, we're not ready. And I've been guilty of that. Or let's say, for example, I use the gym as my ministry. Matt can attest, he normally sees me. Man, you talk a lot to people. But I'm not just talking to them. I'm trying to get to know them. I'm trying to reel them in.
Right.
I'm trying to see what's going on here. Because I'm not just there for my physical health. If that was the case, shame on me. Everything can be used as a ministry towards God. Our jobs, our hobbies, our friendships, social media, not on there, but but it can be, right? And it should be. It should be our platform, right? Number two, become a student of fishing. Pastor Don, I've known him for 100 years, almost, about 40-something, and he's an expert fisherman, a fisher of men. How does he do it? So I've been around him. I've watched him. Kind of like, you ever hear the term job shadowing? Yeah, he has. I think you're right. Boy, that kid, special. He's special. But I've noticed, like, when new people come into the church, who's the first one to come over there and harass them? Talk to them, and try to get to know them, right? Pastor Don. Usually I don't bother him on a Sunday after service because he's over there, trying to get people into the kingdom. Trying to what? Says the best fishermen read fishing magazines and regularly share stories with other fishermen. In other words, they eat, breathe, and live fishing. Talking and reading about techniques that work in certain conditions will help you learn how to handle whatever situation you encounter at the end of your line. Boy, you're going to encounter some situations at the end of that line. You're going to have people that are argumentative with you. You're going to have people that love what you have to say, although it could be rare. You're going to have people just keep come nibbling on that line. Like Donna said, you get so dang excited. Take it easy. They're just nibbling, Don't hit them over the head with the Bible yet. And finding out what works for other fishermen will give you new tips and tricks to try. That's interesting. Share with your brothers and sisters. Say, hey, but I've been ministering to this person so long, and I just can't get through. Well, have you tried praying for them? Oh, I didn't even think of that. Right? Or what do you do in this situation? Sammy, how do you minister to your coworkers? I know Sammy's out there. He's on the assembly line, but he's on the assembly line of God every day trying to minister to those guys. We've talked. He tells me about these guys who badger him and this and that. And I was like, You're in the right place. Amen? If you're able to find a mentor who can teach you the skills, ideas, techniques, and patterns that work for them, they'll make you a better fisherman, Hang out with somebody, Hey, how do you minister to people? What can I do in this situation? Hey, if I bring so-and-so to church, do you think you can talk to them? I love it when, people come up to my family members, introduce themselves, and they've heard my shtick, a lot of years, They ain't hooked yet, but they're getting there. Amen? Number three, fish where others aren't willing to fish. Is a rich businessman's soul more valuable than a homeless person on the street? Remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus told us in Luke 16, all are precious in God's sight. And you don't know who God's going to bring across your path. It could be a guy just mumbling to himself or whatever. It could be a rocket scientist. We don't know. God brings the fish to us, And we just have to be prepared to not judge that person. You know, all are precious in His sight. You know? It says here, if you're willing to go the extra mile, you'll be rewarded for your efforts. Drive to a remote fishing spot. Wade a little farther out into the river, or keep active in the water so that you can identify where the fish are biting. In order to be a great fisherman, you must be versatile and up for trying new places. Don't get stuck going to the same old fishing hole time and time again expecting different results. Now that one stuck out to me. You can't use the same logic and reason and scripture to every single person and be robotic. I remember years ago, Bob ran into a guy up at the pizza place, and he memorized a few scriptures. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Do you know Him? And Bob's like, I'm already saved. Don't you know that? Wouldn't you know that? And the guy's like, he got scared because Bob ended up having a prophetic word over him. He was led by the Holy Spirit. With each person, you got to be led by the Spirit. You know, God might give you a different word for them. God might just say, you know what? For now, I just want you to befriend this person. Now, I have a friendship that started out in the gym. It was a guy who's in pretty good shape. About 10 years older than me, he's a black gentleman, real nice guy. And this is how our friendship started. He'd always see me and smile. Oh, hey. And that was it for months. You know, hey, how you doing? You know, and nothing happened. And then one day, we just started talking, little by little. Got his name was Jerry. He was a retired, soon to be retired, police sergeant, Detroit police. Do you know Nick Medrano? Oh, of course I know Nicholas Medrano. Her son. Oh, okay, what a coincidence, you know. So little by little. So then we start talking about God. Then he tells me he's an atheist. So now we have a debate every time I come into the gym. Guy's wearing me down. But you know what? He's biting on the line because the first two sermons that I preached, I've actually shared it with him. And he's listened. You know how I know he's listened? He's told me. He goes, boy, you really love your wife, don't you? You really brag her up. I say, yeah, I do. So he's on that line. And the funny thing is, he tells me, he goes, you know, I used to be a Christian. You know? And so I just keep him in prayers. But you don't know. I mean, that friendship started off with just a smile. And God didn't have me say nothing for a long time. Sometimes, Esther, Fred, for me, it's hard to keep my mouth shut, you know. Amen. Donna, reel that catch in slowly. Slowly. I love this picture. I just spilled. Are you kidding? This is this day. Bernie, thank you. Give him a hand. First time my wife, I took her to church. Well, when we got married, I was backslidden like really far, like way down. Yeah. So I took her to a church because I said, you know what, Claire, I says, we got to start getting right. We got to start serving God. She's like, well, I'm willing to go to church with you. And I'm like, all right, well, let me pray that the pastor doesn't say any controversial subjects. Let me say nobody offends her, nobody this, nobody does any crazy, you know, yelling in tongues and going nuts, you know. I think it was what they were doing, the communion, right? And the preacher says, you know, hey, you know, if you don't know, you know, have a right relationship with God, you shouldn't take this communion. Well, so she did the right thing. She didn't take the communion. And so here comes this woman. Oh, why didn't you take the communion? And don't you know Jesus? And she's giving her the heave-ho. And I'm like, hey, it's her first time at church, and she's berating her. Well, thank God she did come back and got saved, what, a few months later? A couple months? A couple weeks? A couple days?
A couple years. Are you saved?
Are you?
Well, we know being married to Brian, you got to be.
Yes, a lot of grace and mercy. But no, you know, if people walk in the door, you know, you want to point the gun at them, hey, you need to get saved, you know. Relax. All right? Relax.
That's,
yes.
Another,
go ahead.
Oh, I'm coming. That's another fisherman fishing technique. When you feel a nibble,
yeah,
you jerk the line.
Yes.
To hook them. That's like giving somebody a word, you know. Like also, just if nothing else, you know, God loves you. And just walk off, right? You've hooked them. The rest is slowly. Usually they'll come to you and say, well, what was that? What were you, you know. But it is a slow, long process.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that picture there. Years ago, I was over at Fairlane, and I had my two boys. They were little, you know, 3 and 4 running around. They used to have an area in the middle of the Fairlane store there, and the kids could run around. I was sitting there drinking coffee while Laura was out spending my money. And yeah. And this girl came up to me, and she asked me, she said, are you saved? And I kind of looked at her. She handed me a tract and couldn't get away fast enough. And I'm like, hey, come here. You know, so I started asking her questions, you know, just playing the game. What's this about? And you could see, I mean, she was nervous and everything else. But she was there with a group, and they were handing out tracts. And sometimes that's very effective. But a lot of times, you know, it just hardened somebody's heart because, number one, I said, you didn't even ask me, you know, how I was doing or what my name was. Does handing me this really show that you're concerned about my soul, you know? And so we sat there and we talked for a while, and, you know, and throwing that bait out on the water and there's no line attached, it's not going to be very good, you know? And we, and like you said, Chief, you know, with the guy you were ministering it to the gym, that just didn't happen one day. It was step by step by step, little by little, here a little, there a little. And you got to be patient, you know? And there are people that you may run into years down the road and you find out, you know, they were saved. I told the story. I was over at a place over in Dearborn. Mitzi went with me one day. I'm sitting there, and this lady came walking down the hallway, and she looks. She goes, well, Mr. Woolen. I'm like, I don't know who this is. And she says, I always wanted to run into you because I got saved because of your ministry. And I'm thinking, I don't even know you, lady, you know. Well, what it was, when she was in high school, I was a substitute teacher. I was always talking about the Bible and what have you. And she proceeded to tell me how much she hated me. And she went through a year of just total hell, ended up getting saved, and always wanted to come back because she said she'd always remember the different things that I said. So even though it wasn't me leading her to the Lord, it's sometimes the things that you say, you know, that will stay with them. And she said all during that time she backslid, she was doing her own thing. She was always thinking about the things that I said, you know. Mm-hmm. And so here it is, you know, 30, 35 years later, you run into them. And so, you know, you may not see, and we say this all the time, you may never see the fruit of that seed that you're planting. Or you may not be the one that catches that fish, yeah. But you've set somebody else up, yeah, and equipped them in how to do it. So,
yeah. Amen. So, a lot of times you're throwing that bait out. You know, what you can't see when you're fishing? You got the one fish that's over there, but you got all the other fish that are attracted to the bait too. You know? And a lot of times, and Christy will be my witness here, I'll be ministering to somebody knowing that this other fish over here can hear everything, and they're hanging on every word, and I'm talking to this person knowing pretty much it's not going anywhere. But they're listening. Like at work, you know, I'll talk to, you know, I work with all Muslims mostly. I'll be talking to one person knowing, it's not going well, but this lady over here, I can tell she's listening. Right. You know, it's like, so when you're fishing, you can't see them fish hovering around it underneath, but believe you me, they're all hovering around it. One will grab it, you know, eventually. Well, I was going to show the Allen Iverson practice video, but We'll save that for another time. But, practice. Still talking about practice? But I do like this. Tiger Woods, a typical day of golf practice. You know, good fishermen practice. You know, practice your craft. Practice speaking in front of people. Practice getting over your fear talking about God. Practice not worrying what people think about you. 2 hours of driving range work and on-course swing work in the morning, followed by 30 minutes to an hour of putting practice. Around noon, play 9 holes. In the afternoon, another 3 to 4 hours of on-course work focusing on the swing and short game. The afternoon sessions sometimes include another 9 holes of playing golf. That's just his practice. That doesn't include his weight training, because he's into weight training too. And that's when he's at the top of his game, doing all this practice. So, you know, if he can practice.
They used to show a commercial of him out in the rain.
Yeah.
Hitting balls.
Yeah.
You know, I tell the story of the young girl.
I told the story of a young girl that was on our team last year, and the only reason she made it is because she was at every practice. Didn't really have the talent or the experience that the other girls did, but she worked hard at it, and you always keep a couple kids like that. And, you know, one thing that we noticed is that after a game, she would disappear. We couldn't find out, you know, where's this girl at? Well, it was raining one time. I'd always take the girls back to the school, and, you know, usually their parents would pick them up. And she said, "Oh, no, coach, you know, I'm going to walk home." I said, no, let me, you know, I'll drop you off. You know, where you go? No, coach, I want to walk home. Well, she wouldn't walk home. She'd walk over to the park. And there was a cone, one of those traffic cones, you know, a big one. And we used to keep some balls inside. And she would be out in the rain as I drove by, hitting balls off that tee into the net as it was pouring rain out, because it meant that much to be on the team and wanting to get better. And I just thought to myself, that's the type of dedication we should have. Like you said, you know, in serving God, are we willing to get out there? Are we willing to put in that practice time, you know? And you look at his practice day and what he went through. And I like down there, you know, how much do we pray? How much do we study? How much do we attempt to even put ourselves in those situations where we can, you know, we can minister to someone, you know, wherever we might find ourselves. So don't give up. Keep, you know, just think of these people. Get out there. No matter what the elements are, you know, hey, God will use you, and you'll get better. And better and better.
Amen. Yeah, you know, how do we practice? Pray. Study. You know, get ready for that exam, right? I always did good on finals. I mean, I wasn't the best student. But when it came to finals, I would literally lock myself in my room when I was a kid, and I would just study and just till it clicked, you know. First Peter 3:15, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord," and here we go. "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." But we always forget this part. But do this with gentleness and respect. You know, I've grown to love this guy, Jerry. Now he is retired. And, you know, I consider him a friend. And, you know, but I always try to do it with gentleness and respect. You know, he always wants to talk politics. You know, and I don't want to talk politics. I said, "I'll talk Jesus all day, but politics." I said, "But I do, you know. I'll tell him that, you know, Trump's pro-life, this and that. He doesn't like, you know, he's staunch on the other side." Yeah. But, you know, at the end, I try to do it with gentleness and respect, you know. You're not going to, you know, argue somebody into the kingdom, right? Does anybody argue you in? No. Right? Beat me in, maybe.
Father used to say, "You can't get them into heaven by giving them hell."
Amen. You know, use different lures like we talked about. Not every lure tracks the same fish. You know, when I was a kid, my brother-in-law always took me fishing. And he had this stupid rubber purple worm. It was called the K&E Bass Stopper. And it did. It caught the bass. I mean, it didn't catch pike or guppies, you know, bubble guppies. But it caught the bass. So I went 25 years without seeing him, because him and my sister got divorced. When I was in California, I seen him. And he has a bass boat. And I says, by chance, and I remember since I was a kid, "Hey, Joe." I said, "Hey, you still have used that K&E Bass Stopper when I was a kid, you know, 12 years old? That's 40-some years ago." He pulls her out. He goes, "Of course I did, Chief."
Right.
And finally, you know, says here, have a positive attitude. So we're going to read this. It says, "At the end of the day, fishing is all about having fun in nature. When you're out in the water, have a good attitude. Keep your energy up and keep the faith that you'll catch a fish. A happy fisherman will not only have a better time, but it'll keep the rest of his group relaxed and in good spirits too. Get the sourpuss attitude off your face when you know you need Jesus. You know, nobody's going to respond to that. Like I said, with my friend Jerry, it started with a smile. Now he calls me Smiley Brian. You know, I mean, you know, share the love of the Lord. Be gentle. Be respectful. The fish are waiting. They're out there, and they're loaded, right? Remember when the disciples let down the net? We fished all night. He says, here, let down the nets. And what happened? They couldn't even haul it in. There was so many fish. Here's about the positive attitude in the Christian way. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, took on the humble position of a slave, and was born as a human being. Okay? Keep that attitude. Keep a positive attitude. Don't get defeated. Man, I went ocean fishing, and everybody around me was reeling in these tuna. I was like, wow, albacore, best tuna you can ever eat. I didn't even get one bite. You know, hey, it's okay. You know, that's going to happen. You're going to go out, you're going to get skunked, right? You know, God's not, you know, be willing, right? I know Eli, he's willing every day to be used by God. All right, Lord, whoever, whenever, however. 3 a.m, somebody calls Eli, is he going to be, might not be happy, but he'll beat it, right? Good fisherman is patient. My grandparents would be out there all day. They had a place up north. From dusk till dawn, my mom said, we ate fish morning, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The more we walk with God, the more patience we should have, because patience is a fruit of the Spirit, Holy Spirit. But fruit takes time to grow. But for some reason, this fruit is very stubborn to grow in my own life. I woke up, and this scripture was on my Bible app, and I didn't know it. I had already put this down 3 weeks ago. But this, I opened up my phone today, and this scripture came up. It says, the Lord isn't really slow about his promise, as some people think. No. He is being patient for your own sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent. Amen. God was patient with us when we were in our rebellion, running from him for a lot of years. Not you, Ken. Me. But God knows the beginning from the end. We know in part. We prophesy in part. You may never know if you reeled in that soul, but one day you will. Like Pastor Don, I love that story. I'm glad you shared that about the girl, 35 years. You didn't even know. Like, what? Who are you? What? What are you talking about? Right? And finally, a good fisherman loves to share stories. And real quick, we want to close. I texted Fred and Esther last night, and I says, I would love you guys, one of you guys, to share a story of, you know, how you minister to somebody and what happened. So I want to close on that. So give these guys, whoever had to.
Who is it?
Who is Esther? Is it Fred?
Don't argue now. It's too late.
Fred didn't tell me this till this morning when I was getting my clothes ready, but
he was supposed to tell you last night.
I went to sleep kind of early.
Oh.
I woke up this morning to a text from my girlfriend, and I woke up this morning to a text from a girlfriend who the Lord actually asked me to minister to her. I didn't know that I was doing this, but I would go to her constantly. You know, like, not all the time, but I say constantly because to me it seemed like constantly. But I would give her things, books, scriptures, CDs on the Lord. It was all about the Lord. And she texted me this morning. She goes, I thank God that you did what he asked you to do and come and talk to me. Because there was another friend of ours who said I was crazy. She said that this is stupid, what she's doing. You know, worshiping God, like, who worships him like that? That's just stupid. To this day, the girl still says that about me. She says that I walked away from Christ because I walked away from the Catholic church, which it had nothing to do with that, you know. I honestly believe God led me to where I'm at today. And this girl now, I mean, we're good friends. We do go through trials and situations, but She said that to me. And I told Fred, I said, wow, it's so strange that you tell me this, that Brian said this, because she texted me this morning to tell me, thank God for you coming. And so it was a long time of me going to her and going to her, and she's saved now.
That's I couldn't plan that. We didn't set this up, trust me. So what we're going to do now, we're going to close in prayer, but I just want one thing, and sometimes you need soldiers alongside of you, okay? And, man, I know in my heart, you know, the one person that sticks out to me the most is this Jerry, who used to be a Christian. And his mom died a Christian, thank God. But I want you to think just for a minute of the one person God has in your life that doesn't know the Lord. And we're just going to pray, you know, and believe God for that. So maybe share it with a person next to you. They could pray for that person. Amen? So just take a minute. And we're going to close. You can talk. All right, we ready? All right. So we'll just insert this. You insert this person's name or whatever. So,
Heavenly Father, just thank you.
So thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lift up every person that came to our hearts, that came to our minds, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, that we're in a body that loves us here, and you love us, and you love this person that's on our heart. And even if we couldn't think of that person right now, I prayed later on that we would think of this person, God, because you put so many people in our paths. And Lord, we just pray for their souls right now. We just thank you, Lord. Lord, just give us a heart of worship as we go out there today, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord God. And we give you all the glory. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.